Okay, so I'm not necessarily someone that has a hard time sleeping. Like once I'm asleep, I have typically a restful sleep. I'm not really tossing and turning, but I noticed, and I think we were talking about this on the podcast, like I was getting into this really bad habit where I was falling asleep on my phone and I just knew there was no way that was good for me. Like I consciously was aware of the fact that this wasn't good and I was doing it anyway. And then I started to use Hatch, which I'll tell you more about in a second because the hype is very much real. But I will tell you that I really do notice a difference when I wake up because it just feels like more of a restful sleep than I even knew was possible. Like I would have told you before this that I felt that I had a pretty restful sleep. And I think that I did, but this took it to a whole other level. So the thing is, like, there are so many things that want to keep us up at night, whether it's social media, our to-do lists, our favorite shows. A million things don't want you to sleep, but Hatch does. And Hatch helps you choose sleep and creative bedtime habits that make you feel better at night and energized in the morning. By the way, that's the thing in terms of energized in the morning. I was waking up to this like very jarring phone alarm, as I'm sure many of you are. And I had this moment where I was like, it doesn't have to be like this. And it doesn't. With the Hatch Restore, not only can you wake up to kind of a calming sound, but also the sunrise light. It just feels very peaceful. Like you have to try it to know what I mean. But once you try it, you will get it. And with the Hatch Plus subscription, you can unlock premium routine building features like Cue to Unwind, which signals you when it's time for bed, and Pillow Talk, which is an audio series, kind of like your favorite bedtime TV shows without the screens that keep you up. Because again, that was my thing. I wanted to get rid of the screens. I am such a fan of this, and I've gotten it for so many people, and it has been so beneficial. Right now, Hatch is offering our listeners $20 off your purchase of the Hatch Restore and free shipping at hatch.co/CBC. Visit hatch.co/CBC to get $20 off and free shipping. hatch.co/CBC. So we just want to take 1 minute to tell you guys about Bravo's Below Deck Mediterranean. I feel like most of you are familiar with the show, but if not, I'm going to tell you about it anyway because it is a must watch. If you follow the account, you know that we post the Sunday night Chrissy Teigen Roundup, and she's often tweeting about it, so it often makes its way into the Roundup. Basically, if you've never seen Below Deck Mediterranean, it follows a group of 9 crew members who live and work aboard a mega yacht, and they're serving these wealthy and kind of uncompromising charter guests. So Bravo follows them as they undertake a new charter season in the French Riviera, which is literally the pinnacle of yachting. And each episode is kind of different in that it presents a new group of guests and a new set of challenges for the crew members to have to undertake. The boats are big and the personalities are even bigger. It's interesting because, you know, the long hours and the high stress of having to cater to these people above deck, and then we get to see below deck the kind of tension and politics between the crew members. Personally, my favorite thing about the show is that you can pick it up at any time, so there's no need to have any, you know, previous season knowledge to be able to get it. And every season, there are these wide-eyed new crew members that join the fan favorites. So Captain Sandy is back, who is the fearless leader that doesn't put up with any BS. Jump on board with Below Deck Mediterranean. New episodes every Monday at 9, 8 Central, only on Bravo. Or catch up anytime on Bravo On Demand. Hi, guys. I'm Emma.
And I'm Julie.
And we're the girls behind Commons by Celebs. And welcome to episode 19 of our Kardashian bonus show. Okay, so full disclosure that I feel like I just want to say before we even start, because like no bullshit here. Last night's episode was a little underwhelming.
It sucked. It fucking was terrible. It was so stupid.
Like we always say that we know that every Kardashian episode is going to have one or two filler scenes or filler storylines. Last night was kind of just like a lot of them, right? All at once.
It was a whole episode of fillers.
Yeah, and that's okay. Listen, they can't be perfect, but we decided that this episode, yes, we're going to go scene by scene because we always do. And even if it was the worst thing, we'd watch it every week because we're just so obsessed. But there's a lot of opportunities here to talk more generally about some of the things they mentioned. So I think we're going to do a lot of that.
I'd be happy to.
Okay. Ready, Joel? So let's start it off. They're at Chloe's house. It's Chloe, Kendall, and True. And they're on FaceTime with Tristan. And like, yeah, Tristan's being cute with True, whatever. But the second I see his face, I just have like a physical reaction.
Did you notice it wasn't blurred this time?
Yes, which was interesting.
Maybe after the last episode, they were like, she called and was like, you signed that goddamn waiver.
What do you think?
I don't know. I think it's, I don't know. It's so weird that it was blurred one time and not this time.
Do you think anything had to do with the fact that the last time a lot of what was blurred were the actual pictures of him and this was like him moving, or you think it had nothing?
No, because his face, when he comes in at the end of that last episode, his face is blurred when he's holding True and it's like in person.
Yeah, I don't, a lot of people were asking us about that. I really don't know. And Chloe didn't tweet about it this time. I don't know. I just, he comes on, it's like I have such a, like, a feeling really comes over me of just like, get off this screen and get out of this family, you know?
But also what they're doing is like they're blatantly making it that it seems like they're somewhat together or basically together right before the Jordan episode.
Well, that's the thing. We're kind of all just sitting here waiting for, you know, Jordan Gate to air. And there's no way, I'm sorry, there's no way they were like sleeping together at this time.
Well, there's also a ridiculous gap in time here. Like when Kylie's office was opening and this episode was going on, it's probably like January-ish. Like you can tell it's cold out. They're wearing jackets. Jordan happened in what, March? April? It's warmer in Calvin. Like, you know that there's just a huge, like, 3 month or so time gap. The last episode was the Christmas episode.
Yeah.
So between 2 weeks, it's all of a sudden Jordan?
I know. Listen, I don't know what they're doing, but I have to tell, like, we are, as much as all of you are, waiting with bated breath for that. Like,
I'm, like, scared to watch it.
I'm so scared. We're going to have to do some sort of, like, support group live. I don't know. We have to do something because it's, I already feel myself, you know?
I was watching a little bit of the preview last night when it came on, and I was like, I can't do this. I'm not emotionally prepared. No. I'm not ready. I'm not in a place in my life where I can watch this happen.
It's going to take us back. Whew. Okay, let's move on to scene two. So they're at Kim's house, and it was Kim staying in Chicago. They were sitting on the floor of her bathroom, and it was so funny. In our Patreon group, we were talking about the episode, and someone was like, perks of this episode, got to see more of Kim and Kanye's bathroom. I was like, yes.
Also, do they just hang out in the bathroom?
That's what I was saying to you. I don't know. By the way, full disclosure, Julie and I didn't watch it together, so this is really the first time
we're having. I love when we do this.
It's so much better, because now I'm hearing your thoughts for the first time. But yeah, I know. I was thinking, like, think about having a bathroom that big that's, like, it's the chosen place to hang out in the whole house.
It's so weird. And also Kanye knows it. Like, they both know that this bathroom is just ridiculous, because when Kanye was on Letterman, he was like, he brings David to the house and he's like, you got to see this bathroom. I know.
They're so proud of it.
How many times have you ever been in someone's house and the first thing they say to you is, come through my bedroom to see our master bathroom?
No one. Maybe Arlene.
Maybe Arlene.
My aunt. No, right? It's insane. Anyway, they're sitting on the floor, and Kim, I just, as a total side note, Kim is so cute with Saint. Like, she's so cute with all of them, but I think the mother something.
I wrote that too.
I didn't even see you wrote it. She's so cute with him.
Because the thing with her and North is that they have, like, a little friendship going on. Like, they, like, have this, like, cute relationship, but I think Kim genuinely sees her as, like, her friend. With Saint, he's, like, just, like, this little mushball, and she knows it. She's so, so cute with him, and it's so obsessed with him.
She's, like, my favorite boy. She's, like, what are we going to do when baby brother comes? Like, I can't call you my favorite anymore. She's, like, I'll call you my favorite big boy. I'm, like, oh, my God.
Like, we know.
We know.
We know.
Also, this is what starts the plot line of Kim's psoriasis, which, as you know, she's been open about. She's not, like, this just came out of left field. She's had this for 6 years, but apparently right now is when it's really picking up steam, which... This was the second I saw that was going to be a storyline of this episode. I said to myself, this is the most calculated. This is Kardashian peak calculated. Just so happens to be that her body makeup is launching on the 21st, aka 4 days from now. Like, it is so perfectly timed.
It's insane. It's even insane that they're able. I mean, like, I guess it makes sense. It's like, okay, one is this plot line that we know is happening in the show going to happen. Okay, we're releasing the body, like, because we know that plot line's happening. But it's still, there's just, it's incredible.
I mean, this was, she's like, yeah, you know, just body makeup. That's what I've been doing. And I'm like, you don't say.
Yeah, like, you don't say just body makeup. Like, Jesus.
No, I know. And Chloe was genuinely like, I mean, who knows how exaggerated it was, but she was like concerned at Kim's skin.
Well, wouldn't you be?
Yeah.
Her psoriasis is really terrible.
It's kind of unbelievable. Like, okay, there's so.
That's also how I know it's wintertime, because her psoriasis is acting up.
Yeah. That's when you know.
No one's psoriasis acts up in April. Sorry. It's that dry winter. The dry winter in Calabasas, as it always is.
I know. But it was funny because Chloe was like, yeah, like, aren't you worried it gets on your, like, it's going to get on your stuff, like, get on your clothes, makeup and stuff. And that was the first, it hasn't come out yet, so no one has actual reviews, but that's what everybody was saying.
But what did Kim respond to that?
She was saying, yeah, I think that this is what's going to happen. I think that that's them saying, like, yeah, typically, like, the body makeup, whatever. And her, she's saying, I wanted one that wouldn't rub off on anything, yeah. And that's why I created my own.
That is smart.
I mean, the whole thing is just.
I have a back of body mousse that doesn't rub off on anything.
You should tell her.
Yeah. You're welcome, Becca.
Julie writes, Chicago is so big, just running around doing her own thing. I was thinking the exact same thing.
She just got up on that chair like it was nothing.
No. I have to say something about Chicago. I say it every time. Chicago is, forget about the most beautiful baby, just the most beautiful human being. Like, she is, I'm sorry, no. Julie, she's stunning.
She is gorgeous, but, like, the way you described that was, like, personality-wise, that she was like had a beautiful personality.
Well, she probably does too.
But she probably does. You don't know she
aesthetically,
does.
Aesthetically, she is stunning. I cannot wait. No,
she's
wait.
Gorgeous. She's like a porcelain doll.
A porcelain doll. She's another level. I mean, it's just beyond. Okay, let's move on to scene three. They're at the Kylie Cosmetics office. This was also a major storyline. Basically, here's the deal. They just move into Kylie's new office, which we saw also conveniently last week in her YouTube vlog. The office is insane. Like, let's just call a spade. Even she said, I pay way too much money a month for this office. It is unbelievable.
It's insane.
It really is. I mean, we saw in the video, you know, not on the show, that Stormy has a bedroom and this and that. But even just, it's so grand. It's so luxurious, but also, like, so minimalistic in a lot of ways.
So fitting.
It's just so fitting. Anyway, the whole storyline is kind of around the fact that Kylie feels like Kris is really taking ownership over something that isn't necessarily hers. Like, Kris is walking in there like she owns the place, which, I mean, she kind of.
She at least owns 10% of it.
Exactly. And Kylie's kind of off put by that. What, initially, before we get into the details, what was your reaction to that kind of Kylie being so visibly upset?
Well, first of all, this is obviously another forced plot line because, oh, what, you couldn't find a Kris her own office in this place? Like, it's just ridiculous. But I thought it was more of like a funny and less serious plotline because of the way they were going about it. And I actually happened to, and I talk about this more towards the end of like my notes, but I happen to really like Kris and Kylie's relationship. Like, I think they have a really like amazing and like special relationship. But the whole thing was just ridiculous. There's no reason that they would have been sharing an office in the first place.
No, I completely agree. I think what you said about their relationship is really true because they say, like, they're so productive together and they're so, like, collaborative together. And it's true. They wouldn't have been able to build this. Like, their dynamic was a huge reason that this became what it was.
Oh, totally. I mean, it's – we can't say that Kylie did this all on her own because there's business aspects of it that I just think Kylie would not have been able to do. It was, in part, Kris's just genius business sense and the other part of it being – Kylie's just unbelievable ability to like connect with fans and create this whole empire through her connection with people and people's obsession with her. And it really involved both of them. So it makes sense that Kris would be at the office and have a permanent office at that office. There's no reason that they would share a physical desk.
Yeah, I don't even know if this was the actual scene, but the one that I'm thinking of is when they're sitting there and Kylie's basically saying that she does her reveal videos, like she films them for her Instagram stories beforehand because it's too stressful to do it in the moment, which I know everybody was thinking, like, yeah, because you don't have Jordan to hold it. At least that's what I was thinking. But so she's trying to film it and Kris.
Well, at that point she did.
Yeah, I guess that's true. She's trying to film it and Kris isn't – Kris is on the phone. Again, so staged. But my takeaway, which a lot of people in our Patreon group wrote also, is that the actual like PR boxes are so much bigger.
Yeah.
Did you see how big they were?
Huge. I think they vary in size, but the Kylie skin one was huge. It looked like a damn vanity.
I know, it really did. Okay, we're going to move on to scene four now. This was Chloe and Kendall. They're sitting in Chloe's viewing room. Julie writes, you guys know the one. And this is, again, the start of another plot line, which is this episode was so ridiculous. Like, this episode was so ridiculous. As I'm saying it, I'm just recognizing it. But okay. What? I'm going to watch it anyway and I'm going to talk about it and I loved it, but it was really ridiculous. Okay, it's fine. So Courtney and Kendall went on a trip together and, you know, in Kendall's view, which is what she's telling Chloe, it really didn't go well. And Courtney was really rude to her and Courtney was kind of throwing her under the bus and making jokes at her expense to Kendall's friends because the trip was Kendall, their friend Fi, Luca, all of these 20-something-year-olds and then Courtney, right?
Yeah.
And Kendall's voicing this frustration to Chloe. And I have to say, Chloe's an excellent, like, she's the person, if I was venting about something, she's the person I want to go to because she's rational, but she also totally hypes you up.
She hypes every person she's with up. Yeah. That's the whole point of this episode. Also, the funniest thing was the opening of the scene when they're sitting there eating Hershey Kisses and Chloe's like, Hershey Kisses are amazing. I had no idea. Like, I forgot how good they were. And Kendall's like, yeah, I've never had one.
Yeah, that was one where we all looked at each other.
Which, by the way, I wrote, I've never had one either, but I also hate chocolate.
You've never had a Hershey Kiss?
I can't. The idea of them, like, makes me nauseous.
Wow.
I can't, like, stand solid chocolate.
It's a very bizarre thing about you. Although she loves sour Skittles and anything
and
sour.
And I'll eat chocolate if it has something in it.
Yeah.
And I like M&Ms.
Yeah. No, it's kind of bizarre. Anyway, so Kendall was just really, like, visibly upset by this whole situation.
Yeah,
I don't think that was bullshit. I think if anything, this was the one plot line that had a little more truth than the rest of them.
I think there was validity to the plot line. I think it was just obviously blown out of proportion. But also, Kendall's issue is that she just never confronts anything and she'll just complain and complain about it. It's like, you want something done, just fucking say something about it.
That's what, if I had one kind of like internal frustration that lingered throughout this entire episode, that would be it. The fact that I felt like nothing was being actually confronted, it was all being talked about. We'll get to the confrontation at the end.
But that's every Kendall plotline in every episode. Kendall gets upset, tells a sibling she's upset, and then doesn't tell the other sibling who she's upset at that she's upset.
Yes, may I add, this was very reminiscent of last week when she was, or 2 weeks ago, when she was pissed about at Courtney for overstaying her welcome at her house.
And she complains to everyone else.
Right. And then at least she's honest about it. It would be one thing if she was sitting there saying, like, I excel at confrontation. She's so right there being like, it's not my thing. I hate it. She's very forthcoming about her inability to communicate effectively.
Yeah, but then she shouldn't complain to other people about it.
Well, okay. So one of the examples she gave was that they were in the car and Courtney put her muddy feet up on the center console and Kendall asked her to take them off. And Courtney was like, relax, it's a vehicle, and kind of like put them up on either of the the head things. And Kendall was just saying to Chloe, like, it was so unnecessary, right? She was like so upset by that one little thing. You could tell it was the kind of situation where she wasn't upset by the individual event. It was the piling on.
And then there was the thing with the key where she was saying to Courtney, like, do you have a zipper pocket? Because we can't lose this key. Like, I can't get home. We can't get home if we lose the key. And Courtney's like, oh my God, like, relax. It's a key. And she's like, but that's not the point. To me, this plotline was, yes, very typical, but also why? To me, I just don't really understand why Courtney's spending all of her time with Kendall's friends.
Well, this brings up something really interesting, which is that we've always seen throughout all of their friends, there's a lot of mixing. I mean, everyone from Jordan and Chloe back in the day to like Courtney and all of her. I mean, everybody is always intertwined. Like growing up, Kendall and Kylie had all the same friends. Kim, Chloe and Courtney shared. Like everybody has always been intertwined. But I think that it really comes to the surface when it's the biggest age difference. Like Courtney is 40 and Kendall's friends are like between 21 and 24.
To me, it seems like Courtney is like getting closer to Kendall for the sole purpose of hanging out with Kendall's friends. Like it's not like Courtney and Kendall got really close and then all of a sudden like Courtney was hanging out with Kendall's friends as a result of that. Courtney got close with Kendall's friends and then started getting closer with Kendall as a result of that.
Right. Or at least so we see it.
That's what it is. Also, like the whole thing with this episode is that like and we'll get more into this as we go, but Kendall's just upset and Courtney is 40 and her sister is 20 and upset. Like there's no reason that this needed to be a plotline throughout, because if Courtney was an adult, she could have just apologized and been like, I'm basically old enough to be your mother. Like, I'm sorry that you're upset.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. Although my frustration was mounting throughout this whole thing, but I agree with you.
We'll get more into it.
So we just want to stop to tell you guys about Dave.com. Overdraft fees, if you are anything like me, you cannot stand them. I believe that it's time for them to die. Those surprise bank charges over a couple of bucks in your account are useless, painful, and nothing but pure profit for big banks. But thanks to the Dave app, you never have to pay an overdraft fee again. So let me explain to you what it is. Basically, Dave is the number one budgeting app in America because it saves you from overdraft fees, tells you about upcoming bills, and can advance you $75 from your next paycheck with no credit check and no interest. The amazing thing about the Dave app is that it's literally $1 a month, which equates to $12 a year. It's way less than an overdraft fee, and you'll never have to pay one again. It can help you budget for upcoming expenses, text you if you're spending too much, and if you need cash fast, they can advance you $75 in just 90 seconds. Also, my personal favorite thing about this is that Mark Cuban is an investor in Dave because he got crushed by overdraft fees in his 20s, and he wants you to never pay an overdraft fee again, which a Mark Cuban endorsement to me, I mean, what could be better? There are 3 million people that currently use Dave to save up to $1,000 a year in overdraft fees, and that's why it's the number one budgeting app in the App Store. So go to dave.com/celebs. It really helps the show if you let them know you heard it here, and then download Dave and never pay another overdraft fee again. It's immediate savings. Go now, dave.com/celebs. It's spelled just like it sounds, dave.com, dave.com/celebs.
Trying to do your hair when you don't have the right products can be such a time-consuming and frustrating process. And for me, the issue is always the frizz. Like, generally speaking, I'm pretty happy with my hair, but because the ends get so dry, they tend to get frizzy. And I'm always looking for a product that's lightweight, easy, kind of no fuss. I'm telling you, I found one that's like very much a game changer. I think it will be for you as well. It's Way's new anti-frizz cream. So it's this lightweight cream that provides immediate frizz control. It lasts up to 72 hours. Also, it's a heat protectant up to 450 degrees. So you can put it in your hair and just let it air dry. But also, if you want to heat style it, you have that built-in protection. And for me, this is the reason I like it so much. It helps reduce and repair split ends while kind of quenching dry hair with intense hydration. So you feel like it's making a difference. It's not only that it looks less frizzy, it feels better. And that, to me, is the most important thing. Also, I said this before, but my favorite products from Way are the detox shampoo and then the leave-in conditioner. So to me, it's kind of like 1, 2, 3, detox shampoo, leave-in conditioner, throw in this anti-frizz cream, and we got ourselves a very different situation than when I started. You guys will be a fan. Everything they make is good, but these specifically, I think, are the best. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code CELEBS for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code CELEBS.
Okay, let's take you to the next scene. This was at, I believe it was Kim's office. I like never can fully tell, but I'm pretty sure it was.
Kim's office, question mark?
Yeah, I wasn't sure either, but I think so. And it was Courtney and Kim. And Kim again is talking about her psoriasis and saying how she wanted to see this guy, the medical medium, which, had you heard of him before this?
No.
You hadn't?
No.
Okay, this is where me and Julie's differences really come out. And I can sense that we're going to get into a fight in a couple minutes, but
I'm already angry.
Yeah, we're already mad. I like totally believe in this idea of intuitive healing and that people can, you know, you don't have to be an MD to be able to solve people's medical problems. But I know that that's a controversial take. Anyway, there's this guy, the medical medium. He is very, very famous. He is or can be named responsible for the celery juice trend. A lot of people contest that because they say it was, you know, around for way before him and he just brought it into mainstream. Anyway, so Kim's been trying all these different things. Nothing's working. So she brings him in. And Julie wrote the outline for this. Let me just see what she wrote before I even say it. He literally waves his hands over her body and says, "With you, your problem is the liver. You have really high deposits of copper. Says it's a toxin that's floating to the skin and that celery juice will help it. Emma, this scene is why you can move to LA if you want, but I'm staying right fucking here." I knew there was going to be a line like that.
I mean, this is ridiculous.
Okay, why don't you give your take first and then I'll respond.
My take is that this is ridiculous.
You think there's zero validity to someone being able to have some sort of intuitive capabilities to be able to scan her body like that?
Yes.
Okay. I strongly disagree. I'm not saying he's necessarily the real deal, but I think it's totally doable.
I would urge you / anyone who also believes that to seek genuine, actual medical, trained medical help before.
Right.
Well, I think things get very, first of all, you can believe whatever you want, but things get very dangerous when you choose those things over actual things.
Right. In her case, though, it wasn't necessarily over it. She'd been trying a lot of things and she was like, let me just see if this works.
Like, this couldn't hurt for her, but I would.
Yes. I hear you. With a life-threatening illness, to make that your number one thing that's trying to combat it, totally.
Or even not even a life-threatening illness. Like, there are plenty of times where people have things that they think are no big deals and they seek alternative things that turn into bigger deals because they didn't get actual medical help because they were putting it off.
That's true. I've seen in my own personal life and people that I know, like, holistic practices really help. So that's why I'm a little
I do have to say, I took this, I texted you the other day when I had a cold and there was this like whole, I told you this, right?
No.
Oh, I feel like the truth my God. Comes out. Literally? No, you're not going to believe this. My mom's going to die when I tell the story. There are these like elderberry like cough. They're amazing. Emma? I first of all, I was sick.
Elderberry.
Hold on. I took them and I was like, I couldn't believe it. I was like, this is ridiculous. My mom had the same cold a week later and she comes into my room. She's like, you're not going to believe this. I was like, they're amazing, right? She's like, I can't believe it. She's like, I thought you were crazy. She's like, I didn't believe you. I thought you were just faking a cold and then it just happened to get better because you weren't even sick in the first place.
Wait till I teach you about echinacea. I know. It's a real thing. And it's, wow.
But that's different than somebody waving their hands over your body.
Yes, but that was such a productive thing that you said. Thank you for acknowledging that.
You're welcome.
Typically, she's like, only Benadryl or like only anything that's kind of like relatively toxic.
Benadryl's amazing.
I know. We're not getting
There's nothing in the whole world like Benadryl.
Anyway, Kanye walks in and, you know, he sits down and Kim's like, yeah, so this guy basically, you know, waves his hands over you and tells you what's wrong. Do you want to do a reading? And Connie's like, yeah, sure. So tell them how it went down.
So he stands up. Ken's like, stand up. It works better, whatever. This guy's like waving his hand over him. He like waves his hand over his chest. And he's like, you have heart problems to worry about later. And Kanye goes, under his breath, just goes, yeah, fried chicken. And then he's like waving his hands over Kanye's head. And he's like, you have a neurotransmitter deficiency on your left side. He's like, okay, first of all, duh. He's like, what'd you do, read the news? Like, And then he's like, but other than that, you seem pretty like healthy, whatever. He like keeps waving his hand over Kanye. Kanye's like, I could literally do this. And then he like, the guy leaves and Kanye walks over and kisses Kim. And he's like, can I do that to you later?
Okay, you wrote, I see you wrote this here. You're like, can we talk about their sex life? We never talk about their sex life. We never talk about their sex life. Out of everyone, think about how much we talk about other people's. We never talk about theirs.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I don't know.
Because they're like the old married couple?
Like, honestly, yeah. I can't believe that Kim Kardashian, who was the, you know, participant in the sex tape that made the whole, like, family go viral, we pay zero attention. I think it's also because she exudes so much sex appeal in her daily life that I'm almost less interested of her in the bedroom because it's like, I feel like I see so much of it anyway. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah. I don't know. I would be so interested to see their sex tape.
Oh my God.
They're crazy in bed. You know they are.
They must be. I mean, come on.
There's
also,
oh my God.
But for any other, for, I mean, for a million other reasons, but also for the fact that, like, as we've discussed at length, Kanye idolizes Kim aesthetically. Like, to him, there is no one hotter. So imagine every single time you're having sex with the person that you think is, like, the hottest person in the world. You know what I mean?
That was beautiful.
Like, I'm just saying.
Wow.
I also can imagine Kanye, as much as he can be called a narcissist and all these things, I can imagine him, like, really making a very concerted effort to, like, make her feel good.
Yes. And I don't think that that would be the case with Kanye and every woman. I think that's specifically the case with Kanye.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, we're not finishing here until you have an orgasm. There's no way. Don't you kind of agree?
Of course I agree.
So romantic.
I love him so much.
Julie, you know, I still think, you know exactly what I'm going to say. I still think the funniest thing about this entire podcast is when you thought Pete Davidson saying that he jacked off to Ariana was the most romantic thing. And Isabel's mom texted you like in panic. Like, please.
Texted Isabel, tell Julie that is not romantic. That is so romantic. Are you kidding?
Okay, let's move on now to scene 6. They're at the Kylie Cosmetics office and... again, you know, carrying on the storyline that Chris is kind of taking over. So Kylie walks into her office and Chris is in this literal giant massage chair. I mean, this thing was like swallowing her.
Gotta get me one of those.
We got to get one of those. Holy shit. You know what it looked like? It looks like when you go to a really nice mall and you can like use a massage chair for like 5 minutes.
Brookstone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the Brookstone.
This is kind of like for us normal people going to Brookstone and being like, oh, that was an amazing 20 minutes. They just bought one, you know?
Yeah, I thought we could get a giant massage chair.
Yeah, we could have good. So... this is Julie writes, Chris could use a haircut. Her hair was longer. What'd you think of it?
And Chloe tweeted about this after the episode. I was like, my mom is so stunningly beyond gorgeous, but I like her with shorter hair. I do too. I felt it looked like it was noticeable. It didn't look like she was going out. It looked like she didn't want to get a haircut. Mm-hmm. She needed it.
Was this the scene when Kylie pulled her car in, or was that later on?
No, later.
Okay, we'll get later on because that was...
You think this was the scene when Kylie pulled her car in and I made no mention in the scene that you're talking about of a G-Wagon?
I didn't think please. So. I was just making sure. Okay, that was just kind of like setting the scene. So next one, they're at Kendall's house and it's Harry and Courtney in Courtney's house without her. And
Kendall's house.
I'm sorry, in Kendall's house without her. And Kendall walks in the kitchen. They're sitting there. And Kendall had invited Phi over for dinner.
And Harry,
but Courtney came with them. So Kendall, like, walks in expecting to see Harry, and she sees Harry and Courtney. Which, I will say, maybe you want to say some of Courtney's friendships with Kendall's other friends are new. Not with Harry. They've always been friends for a while. If you notice, anytime Courtney posts text screenshots to her Insta story, it's always, or most of the time, it's of Harry. Harry sends her these like
really motivational.
Motivational, almost like spiritual things. As you know, he's a cancer survivor and he has like taken, like spirituality just runs through his veins. I think he thinks that that's one of the things that got him through it.
Yeah.
And so he's very much like that for her. Like I think he serves that purpose in her life.
He sends her really like gorgeous text messages.
He seems like a really nice guy. So I guess Phi was supposed to be coming. He ended up coming late. And Courtney's like, yeah, he's getting his haircut, but then he's coming. And Kendall's like, oh, he's getting his haircut. And Courtney's like, I know more than Kendall. Like, that line was just.
Yeah. Also, Kendall can't take a joke. That's what this comes down to also.
Yeah.
She's very sensitive. And it's like not necessarily a bad thing, but it's just like, first of all, it's two things. Like, first of all, Courtney, if you know Kendall's sensitive, like, why do you have to push on that?
I think that they're I think we have said this before. I don't know if we've said it on here, but I think we've said it to each other that like, when we try to think about the group dynamics and who kind of gels the best and who gels the worst, if I had to envision it, I would always have said way before this episode, I would imagine Courtney and Kendall having the hardest time because Kendall is probably the most sensitive of everyone, and Courtney is probably the least empathetic of everyone,
and that's
or so
why,
it seems.
And that's why Chloe and Kendall get along so well, because Chloe is so overly empathetic.
Right, and whereas Courtney, I think, has maybe a little bit more of a hard time, like, obviously showing compassion.
And I think, and this is something they've spoken about themselves, about Chloe taking on, like, the real older sister role to the younger kids and, like, really helping to raise them in a way that Kim and Courtney kind of didn't. But you can see it in the way that Chloe and Kendall interact, where, like, Kendall will walk in and, like, sit on Courtney's lap on Chloe's lap, and Chloe's, like, really affectionate, like, really, like, motherly towards her, where, like, Courtney is just so, like, has no patience for Kendall and no patience for the fact that she's, like, sensitive and can't take a joke.
Yeah, which is so interesting because Courtney is also such an unbelievable mother. Like, she has such maternal nurturing aspects to her. I just think that it doesn't come out with the other siblings. Does that make sense to you?
It just, yeah. I think that she's one of those people where it's like almost a little robotic, where it's like, okay, my kids, like, I have to be empathetic towards them. Not that it's forced. I think she's genuinely, like, loves her kids so, so much, and it comes so easy for her to do it with them, but I don't think it comes easy for her to do that with other people.
I agree. So there are two other funny things about this scene. One, Courtney is in Kendall's closet, and she's pointing out that, like, her Ziploc bags are they're like Ziploc bags that are plastic and biodegradable or whatever. And Kendall's like, to her housekeeper's like, oh, I just want her to leave. And it made me think, what were you about to say?
I don't know, but it was so funny.
What I was about to say is, how much shit do you think these housekeepers have heard? Like, I bet they gossip to their housekeepers about each other / everything. It's like a glam squad. We never think about that. We only think about the glam squad.
Because they also, oh my God, you're right. Because they're just always there, but they don't, they obviously have the NDAs, but, like, they obviously tell their other housekeeper friends.
Yeah. I mean, imagine the shit you learn from, like, being there.
Should we become housekeepers?
I know. Like, in Calabasas, could you imagine? I don't know.
I don't know. There's worse ways to live life.
I know. The other thing that I wanted to note was that Courtney is incredibly flirty with Kendall's friends. The exact point that I'm talking about is when Phi, like, lifted her up to, like, go over the gate. And I just wonder, I'm just hypothesizing here, I wonder if Kendall doesn't really take well to that.
I imagine she doesn't. But the thing is, it's so, to me, it's so typical Courtney. Like, it's just, first of all, she has a very flirty personality in general. She probably thinks that Phi is Eunice in the first place. So she's like, I have to try and at least fuck him.
I mean, we all do.
But it's like, also, it does make sense. Like, if you were 40 and, like, as hot as Courtney is, you still want that validation that you're 40 and hot. And you have all these 20-year-old guys, like, giving you attention and, like, lifting you up. Of course you want that. Like, of course. You're going to be flirty in return.
You think they've had sex?
Yeah.
Or, like, if not, will.
No, I think they have.
I low-key do, too. But I feel like people will disagree. But I kind of think so.
I don't think people will disagree. I think people already thought they did before this episode.
Because it wouldn't be any sort of, like, betrayal. It's not like he was hooking up with anyone. Like, okay, a couple weeks ago, did you see? I don't know if we talked about it. There was, like, that clapback when someone commented on Chloe's picture of her and Scott and was like, you guys hook up. And she was like, obviously not. And for us, like, obviously not. Like, okay, if you want to believe that in your head for, like, a quarter of a second, fine. But in no world would Chloe ever have sex with Scott. It just is never going to happen. Whereas Courtney and Phi is, like, kind of feasible, I feel like.
It's, like, way different.
Yeah.
So you're right. Also, I don't know. I think that – I don't think anyone would be surprised or mad. There was, like, the rumor about her hooking up with Luca.
Did you hear when they were talking about the car ride?
And she was like, I had my legs over Luca.
She's like, I had my legs over Luca. I had my legs over Phi. I was like, oh, I would have loved a camera in that car.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, why were those scenes not filmed? How are you going to tell us all about Mammoth and then not even film Mammoth? You know?
Yeah. Yeah, these people think they can just take private trips and have their own alone time.
What kind of, like, bullshit is that?
You know
that?
What? And here's the thing about that stupid fight. If we had cameras on you, it would have been settled in 5 minutes. Let's watch back the footage.
Exactly. Exactly.
I would do that. That's like the only reason I'd want to be on a reality show. Oh, you don't think I'm right?
Yeah.
Oh, I might get a reality show.
That's the only reason you would want to be on one.
Doesn't that sound amazing to you?
For you, yes. It's my worst nightmare.
But not, let's say you didn't have to be on TV, but you could just always prove you were right.
Yeah, if I had, like, someone documenting me that would be amazing.
That's my new dream.
Okay, let us move now to scene 8. This was Courtney and Chloe in the car, and this was when Courtney was really letting it rip in terms of her frustration with Kendall. Can you explain?
Did you just get tired of doing it?
Like, I just, this scene just bothered me so much.
So they're in the car, and Courtney obviously has a very different interpretation of what happened on this trip. And Chloe is, in her way, explaining, in their way, stirring the pot. But she's like, you know, Kendall was over and she's really upset. She was saying all these things that you did and like, you're bullying her. And Courtney's like, hold up. Like, I'm not bullying her. Like, we were all joking. We were all having fun. And Kendall's just being crazy. And then Courtney's like retelling the story and she stops. She's like, wow, she's so annoying now that I think about it. Like, it was just so funny. But she's saying that Courtney's story is that they were at the grocery store and Kendall had this list of food that they were supposed to get. I guess they were cooking for themselves while they were on the ski trip. And Fi wanted potatoes. And she was like, no, we can't stray away from the list. We cannot get anything that's not on the list. Courtney's obviously exaggerating the situation. There's just no way that's what happened. Courtney's like, you know what? And so I said to everybody, get whatever you want. It's on me. I'll pay for everything. As if like, as if Kendall's approach to this was like in a money-saving world. Like Kendall later explains that the story that Courtney's telling is just incorrect. Like she's just obviously exaggerating it. And Courtney's making it a whole thing. So now Chloe's like getting all this information. She's like, oh, I got to go back to Kendall and explain the way that Courtney says it. Like Chloe did not need to put herself in the middle of this the way she did.
Well, I have a lot of things to say, which we'll get into how it kind of resolved itself. But yeah, on one hand, I see that. At the same time, she was really put in the middle. Like they both put her in the middle. She didn't have to necessarily tell each of their sides to each other without the other person there. Like I think maybe a potentially more productive approach would have been like, I'm sitting you both down. Here's what I heard from you. Here's what I heard from you. Let's hash it out.
Yeah.
But she was still put in a like kind of uncomfortable spot.
Yeah. No, she was. But I think Chloe thrives in those situations.
Oh, I totally think she does. I was loving every second of it. Anyway,
I feel like we're explaining this so poorly because there's just it's so stupid.
This one really isn't us. This is really just
this is episode. Not our fault.
No, this episode really had a lot of fluff, but you know what? We are still going to sit here for 45 minutes and talk about it in-depthly because that's what we do. And you want to know something? All of you that hated it, you still watched and you still want to talk about it because we're just all in it. Like we're all just like obsessed. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, I don't either. It's kind of a sickness at this
point. This episode really, truly, it really hit home how far this fascination has gone. Because it's like, okay, when we're seeing really cool details about like Kim and Kanye's life or this, that, it's like, yeah, I totally get it. Why do I care about Kendall and Courtney fighting over potatoes? But I do.
Yeah.
I so do.
I don't know, Emmy.
I made my dad watch it with me last night. Did I tell you that?
What did he think?
He was like, how is this what you are enjoying? But then towards the end, he was like, you know, I'm glad they made up.
He always does that. I know. He's so full of shit.
I know. In the beginning, he's always like we want, okay, David Dobrik, though, we've got him fully converted.
Well, that's an easy one for him to understand why it's entertaining.
Yeah.
He knows that one, he just has to be entertained. He doesn't have to care.
Right. Okay.
Can I make a controversial statement that has nothing to do with your dad or Kendall or Courtney?
Yeah.
I fucking hate that they call True Truseldorf.
It's interesting.
It's like, there's no way True's going to grow up. And like, Courtney's going to be like, Truseldorf. And she's going to be like, literally fucking stop. I'm with all my friends. And you know Courtney's not going to stop because she's not going to give a shit that True hates it. Yeah, it's bad enough that they call her True. You got to add old Dorf to that. It's ridiculous.
I have to say though, like in the beginning when True first came on the scene, and everybody was giving Chloe so much shit for always having her head covered, she looks so goddamn cute in those little headbands.
She does look cute. I think she's adorable.
No, but I'm saying in the headbands, I love it. Like I get Chloe. I get why she wants it. It really dresses her up. Listen, she has the head for it. I don't know what to say.
She does. She has the head for headwear. I have the head for hats because my head's so small.
You do.
I do. I look amazing in a hat. I'm like True.
I was about to say.
I'm like Juseldorf.
Okay. Let me take you now to the Kylie Cosmetics office. We've been there before. And Kylie rolls in this sick gold/nude colored G-Wagon.
Sick.
And she pulls in and she's expecting to pull into her spot. And there's a giant sign. This is reserved for Kris Jenner. And she's like, oh, hell no. So she calls Kris and Kris is like, yeah, no, listen, I'm older. Like, that's obviously my spot. I got you a beautiful pink sign. It's just a couple spots down. And Kylie's like, I know this bitch doesn't think I'm about to go 10 spots down in my own office. And I'm thinking like, is this real life right now?
By the way, and I wrote this, if you'll see, you're going to tell me that at the Kylie Cosmetics, no matter how many other people are in that building, Kylie couldn't get the spot next to Kris's. That one wasn't available. Are you fucking kidding me? There's just no way. There's just no way.
Yeah, no. There's
she's gonna get spot fucking 15.
And also,
like, what? She's a bank teller or something? She's in spot 15, not the CEO of her office? That's ridiculous.
Wait, and also the fact that she just goes and picks up the sign and it's Velcro.
And she's just like, this fucking cheap ass Velcro.
I'm like, there are so many things that are off here. Like, just, it was like a, it was like the Starbucks being in Game of Thrones kind of thing. You know what I mean? I know. What a reference that I just pulled. I know, yeah. But you know what I mean?
Well, that's how you know it was for the plot. Because if it was real, it would never have been Velcro.
Yeah.
When was the last time you think the Kardashians used Velcro?
No. I mean, and the fact that Kylie would even think that it would be Velcro to pull it off, the whole thing was just off. But again, my takeaway from that scene was I fucking love that car.
Love.
Yeah. Anyway, so she's pissed and that kind of leads us
Wait,
on.
And they're on the phone and Kylie's like, you're literally in my spot. I'm taking that spot. And Chris is like, bad connection. Can't hear you. Gotta go. Bye. Like, that's how you knew this plotline. The reason I actually liked this plotline more than the Kourtney Kendall plotline is because I wasn't frustrated by it. Like, they were obviously joking the whole time.
Yeah. No, they were obviously joking. I don't even think they were trying to convince us that they weren't.
No, they weren't.
Let's talk about something near and dear to our hearts, our furry companions. Life is full of unexpected twists, just like the ones we love to uncover about our favorite celebs. But sometimes those twists involve our four-legged friends. Imagine navigating the unpredictable world of pet parenthood, where every day is a new adventure. Our partner, Spot Pet Insurance, wants to share a message to help make sure you're prepared for any unexpected curveballs, whether it's a sudden illness or an unplanned trip to the vet. Spot Pet Insurance can be your secret weapon against the unexpected. With Spot, you can get up to 90% cash back on eligible vet bills, helping you with those surprising expenses that seem to pop up when you least expect them. But wait, there's more. Spot Pet Insurance plans go beyond just offering coverage for accidents and illnesses. You can enhance your plan with their preventive care benefit, ensuring that routine wellness, vaccines, and more can be covered too. Head over to spotpet.com today to get a quote instantly. Trust us, it's the easiest thing you'll do to help secure the well-being of your dog or cat. Visit www.spotpet.com today. Paid ad from Spot Pet Insurance. Waiting periods, annual deductible, coinsurance, benefit limits, and exclusions may apply. For all terms, visit spotpetins.com/sample-policy. Insurance plans are underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by Spot Pet Insurance Services, LLC.
Okay, the next scene continues this Kendall-Courtney narrative. They're at Chloe's house. By the way, a lot of scenes were filmed at Chloe's house.
Yeah.
I love her outdoors. I really do.
Yeah, it's no Courtney's, but it's gorgeous.
It's no Courtney's, but it's gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. I really, really like Chloe's kitchen.
Yeah.
She may have my favorite kitchen, actually, and I don't often compliment her house as my favorite.
Wow, that's interesting.
I don't want that set in stone, but I really, really like her kitchen.
It's in the running.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's Chloe and Kendall. They're at Chloe's house, and Chloe's kind of now telling the other side to Kendall. So she's saying, listen, I spoke to Courtney about the trip, and she has a night and day version of what you told me. And Kendall's like, what did this bitch tell you? And Chloe explains what Courtney said about Kendall being so dramatic about the grocery list. And Kendall is pissed. She's like, that is bullshit. That is not what happened. She's like, I just hate wasting food. Again, subtle plug to them being environmentally conscious. I'm not saying yes. She's not, but it was like a good thing to say out loud.
But also it was a really rational thing for her to explain. And like also, of all people, Courtney should be able to understand that.
Yeah, so she was like, listen, I don't like wasting food. We were there for one weekend, and I didn't feel like we needed to get so many things that were off the list, right?
It makes perfect sense.
And, you know, Chloe's just kind of like, well, one of you is not telling the truth here.
Yeah.
I think this is when Chloe was also starting to realize how stupid this whole thing was.
Yeah, Chloe's like, fuck, I'm so deep in this, and I so don't care anymore.
And Kendall was basically saying, Courtney's like going out of her way to make me seem crazy, and I swear I'm not. Okay, let's take you now to scene 11, where Kendall's in the car, which she's on the phone with Courtney. And of course, her confrontation is on the phone because there was no way the initial one was going to happen in person. There's just no way. And Kendall's like, we never had an argument about potatoes. And Courtney's like, I never said we had an argument. And Kendall's then saying what Chloe said. And now it's like they're both just, I don't know, it was a major disconnect here.
Yeah, and Kendall's like, you're talking shit about me behind my back. And Kendall's like, and Courtney's like, everyone was tiptoeing around you. Like, everyone was scared of you at the grocery store. And Kendall's like, well, then if they were, then you're talking with my friends behind my back, talking shit about me, and I wasn't even aware of this. And Courtney's like, well, I just don't have time to talk to a lunatic right now. And it's like, again, going back to like the you're the adult in this situation, Courtney, like, to me, if somebody who's your sister who's 20 years younger than you calls you and is like, I am upset about this. I feel like you're talking shit about me. Why can't Courtney just say like, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it for it to be construed that way. Like, this could have just been. And the thing is with this plot line is that I feel like it's not even that they dragged it on for the sake of the episode. Like, Courtney wouldn't have let it end there. She is so much more concerned about, like, not having to apologize or not having to be empathetic in a situation than she is about, like, just letting it blow over.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of that, coupled with Kendall's sensitivity, coupled with the fact that they needed it to last the whole episode. Also, I think that what happened here was legitimate, but also there's just an underlying theme, which is that I think Kendall has, again, this is really me just like hypothesizing, I think Kendall has almost like a lingering, I don't know if insecurity is the right word, but kind of frustration with the fact that in her friend group, Courtney is viewed potentially at times more favorably than she is. Like, I think it's known that she has the reputation to the public of being boring, whether or not that's true. And I think that situations like this kind of bring that out. Do you think there's any truth to that?
Yes, and I think also anytime there's like, quote, like a new person entering the friend group and they are, you know, they come in as kind of like the older alpha and they're new to the group, it's like Kendall's like, I was here first. Like, Kendall's territorial over this and I get it. I don't know. I think that with Courtney, it's not like Kendall's hanging out with Courtney's friends and Courtney's being funny at Kendall's expense and Courtney's friends are laughing at Kendall. Like, it's like, Courtney came in to Kendall's, like, safety net and then, like, screwed that all up for her. Yeah, I understand why Kendall was so upset. I think she was obviously a little dramatic in the situation and obviously a little oversensitive. But, like, at the core principle of it, it makes sense.
I agree with you. No, it does make sense. It just – I think that her arguments would be so much more – she'd have so much more, like, legitimacy or so much more leverage if she wasn't so unbelievably painfully bad at confrontation, because it takes away from her point. You know what yes. I mean? If she could just really, like, maturely sit down and have the discussion. I agree with you that in the big picture, Courtney was in the wrong. I agree with you. But the way that I think that this should be the biggest sign to Kendall of, like, you know what? This is an issue that continually arises and I need to really work on it. And she may be.
But on the other hand, this isn't just, like, a fight between friends or, like, a fight between, like, two people that don't really know each other. And like, it's her sister. Courtney has known Kendall's whole life that Kendall's bad at confrontation. If she understands that about her, then, like, there's no reason that Courtney should be dragging this on just for the sole purpose of being right. It's the reason it was so frustrating is because Courtney doesn't lose anything by being like, I'm sorry you were upset, I'll stop. Like, she doesn't even have to say, like, I'm sorry I was wrong. Just acknowledge that, like, she made Kendall upset. I always say this, like, you don't get to decide what makes someone else upset. Like, totally. You don't get to say you're not upset at that because I didn't do something wrong. Like, Kendall's saying she's upset, and it's the bottom line. And Courtney should have just been the bigger person in the situation. And just, Courtney is such an oldest child.
You say that
I have PTSD when I watch this, I think.
From your older sister?
Yeah, I think that I just, like, I think they're so similar.
Really?
I have to tell her that. Not in a good way.
Okay, let me take you to the next scene. It was Chloe at Chloe's house again. It's her and Courtney, and they're brainstorming the names for Poosh, which, again, like, wildly convenient marketing that just as the time that Poosh is really trying to blow up, they have this whole scene on it.
Poosh already blew up.
Yeah.
I don't know where you've been.
As you guys know, if you don't know by now, Julie is a big Poosh fan. So they're brainstorming different names, and Courtney's like, what about Court?
Creative.
I know. I was like, where did you come out with that, you visionary? And Chloe's like, well, I kind of, like, don't think it should be your name. And Courtney's like, I was thinking 25, you know, my favorite number. And Courtney's like, and Chloe's like, who over the age of, like, 10 has a favorite number? And she's like, Kim does. It's 6.
Mine's 2.
I was like, I love it that I'm finding out this number? Little, like, I like 9.
Why?
My birthday's 27. 7 plus 2 is 9. I don't know. It's always been a thing.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I would have thought you would have had, like,
27th. September is the 9th month of the year.
I would have thought that you would have had, like a spiritual number.
Well, I definitely think I'm very much a Libra, which is September.
Yeah, but I thought you would have been like...
No, there's no very deeply rooted sort of spiritual number. But that one has repeated. Actually, remember in LA, at all of the rooms kept being my mom's birthday?
Remember when we were at Kelly?
Oh my God, we never told the story.
I forgot about this.
Okay, so as you guys know, obviously by now, my mom passed away last August. And like, it really happened at the exact same time that everything was taking off. So... like, yes, I'm obviously very spiritual and believe that people come to you in messages and always. And so me and my mom always, like, before she passed, I said, you're always going to come to me, right? And she was like, always. And I do. I feel her every second. But one of the things that she wanted more than anything before she died was to meet Kelly, because Kelly Ripa, because we've obviously become close with her and she's been so amazing to us. And it was like a thing. My mom really wanted to meet her. She didn't end up getting the chance to. Anyway, I don't know when it was.
October.
It was like a couple months.
It was Yom Kippur. I remember that.
It was a couple months after my mom died. It was the day that Chrissy Teigen was going to be on Live with Kelly, and Kelly invited us. And we go and we're sitting there and we meet Chrissy, and it was like this insane day. Like the whole thing was just over. Like the fact that we were meeting Chrissy and she was like, oh my God, I love you guys. She did that video for us for our story. The whole thing was crazy. Anyway, we're sitting there and it was at the time when Live with Kelly and Ryan was doing trivia.
I think they do it every episode.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
And everybody got like a trivia number, and there's, I mean, hundreds of numbers. And they're like, and our lucky winner is 118. And I turn to Julie. I'm like, that is my mom's birthday. Like, no, January 18th is my mom's birthday. What are the fucking chances?
Craziest thing ever.
I'm sorry. The numbers were everywhere from like 1 to 1,000.
No, it was like 1 to 300, I think. But still, it was 18. It wasn't even like, it could have been 1. It could have been 18. It was 118. It was the craziest thing.
And especially because I had been talking about my mom that whole morning to Julie. I was like, oh, I just wish she could, like, I wish I could call her at the end of this day and tell her about the fact what just happened, you know? It was so crazy.
That was a really crazy moment.
Yeah.
That was a really crazy
even
moment.
Even you were like, holy shit. Because you didn't understand why, like, my jaw dropped. And then when I told you, I was like, Julie, January 18th was my mom's birthday.
And then my jaw dropped.
Yeah.
And then
And then we both just, like, started crying. And it was really special. And then I told Kelly after. And Kelly was like, I totally, like,
yeah,
believe
Kelly
that.
Was like, oh, my God, I can't.
Yeah. Okay. So they're brainstorming what Pooh should be. And at this time, Courtney also FaceTimes Fi. And she, like, jokingly asks if he's going on Kendall's Palm Springs trip. Because obviously Courtney wasn't invited. And I kind of felt like, tell me if you think I was off, I kind of felt like Fi was siding with Courtney a little.
He was, in the sense that he was laughing with her, but he also wasn't – it was kind of a mix. Like, he was laughing with her, but he was also being protective over Kendall, I think, because he said – like, he made it clear he wasn't choosing not to go. He was like, I can't go. And then Courtney was, like, joking around about it because Courtney was like, who's even going? And Chloe's like, anybody with the Monmouth crew. And – Courtney is like repeats it to Fi so he can hear. And she's like laughing and she's like, I wasn't invited. I'll never be invited back again. And Fi says to her, like, Courtney, you literally got in trouble for, quote, talking shit behind her back. Like, that's what you're doing right now.
Yeah.
So it was like, he was kind of both sided here.
Yeah. So true. And then Chloe says offline or on the confessional, she's like, I definitely see that Courtney is cracking jokes at Kendall's expense, but it's not malicious, which again, I would never say it's malicious. I just think it's non-aware. But not malicious. She's not trying to hurt her. She's just putting herself first.
Well, what's worse? To try and hurt somebody or be so unaware that you're hurting somebody that you like...
Well, one could argue that being unaware is better because at least there's room for improvement. Whereas if you're a malicious person, then what can you do from there?
But what I'm saying is, like, yes. But what I mean is, like, if Courtney is maliciously saying something, like, with the intention of being mean to Kendall because she... I'm not saying that she's always doing it maliciously, but like saying at Kendall's expense because she knows Kendall's being annoying in this moment, saying it with purpose rather than knowing that Kendall's upset, knowing that this whole situation's going on, and then not even being aware that she's talking shit. Like, it's to me, it's like if you're consciously aware of something, it's almost better. Like, how could you be that like naive to the fact that you are doing this?
I hear you. It's, yeah, there are two kind of negative characteristic traits. It's like
lesser of two evils. Yeah. Yeah,
I don't know. I guess I still would go with the unawareness one because I think there's room for improvement there, but yeah, I hear you. Okay, the next one, I think this entire episode was filmed at Chloe's house. I'm starting to realize.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're at Chloe's house and it's Chloe, Kim, and Courtney. They're playing Word Connect, which was so funny because simultaneously while they were playing, Julie was playing My Dad and Words
with
Friends. I
actually have to play him back.
And I was so high.
Let's see what word he played.
Yeah, he like killed her this morning. He had like a 70-point move.
Oh, my God. It was – no, 70-point move was the other day. Oh. This morning I woke up to like a 30-point. It was just game over. I had four U's. It was just ridiculous.
I get it from both sides. Like, my dad will turn to me and be like, hey, look, I just played a 34, whatever. And then Julie's like, God damn it. It's so funny, like, being in the middle of it. Anyway, this is when Kim psoriasis is, like, out of left field. She has this – the psoriasis machine that she's putting on every aspect of her body.
He played sick for 21 points.
Ooh. I'm proud of you, Daddy. Anyway, so she's saying she had to cancel the photo shoot and that the celery juice isn't working and all this stuff. And she goes, thank God I started law school because I may have to give up my public life if I can't figure out how to clear this.
But she was dead serious.
I know.
She was dead serious. Like, oh, shut up. First of all, you've had psoriasis for 6 years. It's just the winter, I told you.
And also, like, enter KKW Beauty Makeup and we're fine. Okay, we can breeze through the rest of this. We're at Courtney's house, and it's Chloe and Courtney, and Kendall walks in, and now it's the three of them in the room, face-to-face confrontation. Every moment in our life has been waiting up to this moment. And Courtney's like, are we not over this yet? And Kendall's saying, like, I really feel like you're doing things at my expense to seem funnier, to seem cooler. And Courtney's like, maybe I just am funnier and cooler. I'm just like, holy shit, can you just
apologize? Courtney is such an asshole.
So Chloe's, you know, trying to mediate it, but also like a little bit making it worse.
Way making it worse. She's like, Courtney, you know, I was sitting there and you were talking shit about her to Fine. It was just such an unnecessary piece of information that just like could only do bad. There's just no part of that could do good. Like Kendall's like, great, now you're talking shit about me behind my back even after the fact and continuing to do it.
My thing is like, regardless of whose side you're on here, who you think did it correctly, Courtney, like, Courtney doesn't give a shit at all, and Kendall gives a shit a lot. So just if we're using it based on those parameters, Courtney should be the one apologizing because it's so much easier to her, whereas Kendall is visibly upset.
I can't believe we're going to spend an hour talking about this episode. We're already at 45 minutes.
I know, it's unbelievable. Okay.
Oh, God, this is where my edible hit.
Here we are again at Kylie's headquarters for a plotline I literally could not care less about if I tried. That's what Julie writes. So Chris is on the phone with Courtney, and she's explaining that Kylie is so territorial of the office. And then we flash over. It's almost like a split screen to Kylie's house where she is conveniently talking to Chloe, having the exact same conversation. So she's like, Kris Jenner is just doing way too much with my office.
Call her mom. Like, why do you, when she keeps calling her Kris Jenner, it's like, first of all, if you call her mom, we know who she is.
I know. I was so confused by that. And Chloe's like, yeah, me and Scott were there. And, you know, she took us on a tour. And Kylie's like, she took you on a tour. Like, I specifically said to her, don't show anyone until it was done, which in like very much poor people terms, like I'm saying like all of us, like that's the epitome of when you are like redoing your room or something and you don't want your mom to like show your family members and they show her the new paint color. That's what I was envisioning like myself growing up.
Or yeah, I was thinking that like when I wouldn't tell anyone what my bat mitzvah theme was, and then like my mom told somebody and I was like, it was a secret. Like it was supposed to be a surprise. Like they're supposed to walk into the room and see it.
Right. So imagine that, but on like a massive multi-million-dollar/billion-dollar scale is what's happening. Okay, keep going.
Wait, I like when you explain it because I like hearing your surprise when you read my notes that I wrote when I was literally tripping.
Okay, Julie writes, we go now to a black and white flashback of Chloe and Scott winning the golden ticket and getting a tour of the factory. It's so true. They take us through to black and white of like Chris giving them this giant tour. I think the bottom line here, though, is that Chris was just genuinely so excited and she wanted to share it.
But Chris is walking around and she's like, this is my office. This is my thing. They're like, it's called Kylie Cosmetics.
I know. So she writes, I get a text on my phone every time there's a shift change, so I know who's here, and if I'm working late at night, they meet me here.
I just thought that was so interesting.
It is really interesting. I mean, it's always – I love seeing the behind the scenes of this so much. Yeah, so basically Chris is just walking around like she owns the place, which, as we've established, she does at least 10%. So, you know, Kylie's saying to Chloe, she's like, it's literally Kylie Cosmetics. Like, how is she going to hide the fact that she gave a tour when she's like, you literally walk up and it's a glass with my logo on it. I mean, the whole – this was the most – I want you to know that we recognize how privileged of a conversation this was to even begin, but we are operating in these parameters, so that's why we're taking this so seriously. I get from
a – you guys got it. You guys got
it. I know, but I get from a bird's eye view. It's like, are they literally fucking kidding me? Like, so sorry your G63, like, couldn't fit into the parking spot. You know what I mean? Like, I get how ridiculous it is, but fine. So Julie is narrating this. You were narrating this like a script. She's like, okay, now back to Chris. And Chris writes, in front of everyone at the office, she's like, don't ever park in my parking space again. It's the one thing that means something to me. I work so hard.
And Chris is saying that to Courtney on the phone.
Yeah, Chris is saying that to Courtney on the phone. And then Courtney's kind of feeding her, and she says she has this entitlement that nobody says anything to her because she's Kylie Billionaire Jenner.
And then we flash back to Chloe and Kylie, and Chloe's like, listen, bitch, there's no friends or loyalty in the game of being a fucking billionaire.
And then we hear flash back to Chris and Courtney, and Courtney's like, listen, don't let her boss you around. You're Chris motherfucking Jenner. You're her mother. And Chris is like, yeah, I'm important. I helped build this business with Kylie, and I'm older. I'm the mom. I deserve a little bit of respect. So she's like, you know what? In that case, I'm going to go turn my massage chair back on.
I literally thought the scene was the cha-cha slide. I was like, and one back to Chloe, and back to Chris. Yeah. One hop this time. Yeah. I literally wrote that.
It was insane. Okay, let's go back now to Kim's photo shoot. So this is where she had her collab with Winnie Harlow for KKW Beauty. And this was a really sweet moment. She's explaining to Mario how she said to North something like, oh, do you think Winnie's pretty? And she was like, no, I think she's beautiful. And like that North basically thinks that Winnie is this goddess. And it was so sweet.
But we also know this because they'll comment on each other's Instagrams all the time. Like, Winnie will always comment on Kim's Instagrams about North and be like, oh my God, I have to FaceTime her. Or like Kim will comment on Winnie's like, you missed the FaceTime from North today. She was so upset. Like, she'll speak to you later. Like, they love each other.
Yeah. And I thought it was really sweet that Kim was, there were two parts of this. Kim was on one hand saying that she draws a lot of like inspiration and confidence from Winnie Harlow, because obviously Winnie has vitiligo and it has not stopped her at all. She's one of the most powerful models. And Kim was equating that to her psoriasis. And she was also saying, I think I get a lot of confidence from North, because like North thinks Winnie's so beautiful and I'm so beautiful. And I don't know, there was something really nice about that.
Also, what was really sweet about the North-Winnie relationship or whatever is it's not like North was introduced to one of Kim's friends and was like, oh my God, she's so beautiful. It was like North on her own was looking at Kim's phone and looking through Instagram on Kim's phone and like stumbled upon Winnie and was like, she is so beautiful, and was like blown away at such a young age by Winnie.
And I think the other thing that was so special about this is that kids are so, like, they don't hold back. They're incredibly candid. And so it wasn't like Kim was just saying that. You know what I mean? Like, North really, really felt that way, which was, I mean, I think Winnie's, like, so beautiful.
Right. But it's so interesting for North to be at such a young age that maybe hasn't been exposed to, like, all of these different skin types and different skin, whatever. Like, and for her to just, like, say, like, oh, my God, she's so beautiful and not think anything of it, which, yeah, as she should. But it's so, like, at such a young age, that's so incredible.
Totally. I think also a lot of it comes, not to, like, psychoanalyze North's perception, but I think that, you know, Winnie exudes confidence like she just does. And I think that North, because of who she is, picks up on that. And I think, yeah, like, she can appreciate, because she kind of
I agree with that.
Does anybody else psychoanalyze this? Like, no, they just
don't. Psychoanalyze the kids more than the other ones. I know. Like, I literally.
That's the real reason that this episode was relatively underwhelming. We got like 1 second of Chicago and Saint and like a second of True, and that was it. It's like, where's Rain?
Yeah.
You know?
It's ridiculous.
They need to throw the kids in more, definitely. Okay. We are back at Kylie Cosmetics towards the end of the scene, and this is when Chris gets there and Kylie's basically like, I moved your shit. It's out, you know, it's out in the hallway. And Chris is like, you have to be fucking kidding me. She basically sets up like a makeshift desk in the middle of the entire office. And Chris is just like, this is a joke.
Like as if she was just like another entry-level employee.
Yeah.
I thought it was fucking hilarious. It was like very like Jim and Dwight on The Office, like pranking each other.
Do you think did this actually happen or no shot?
I think it happened as a joke. I don't even think it happened for the show as a plotline. I think it just happened as like a joke plotline between the two of them.
I'm reading your notes.
What I write.
Julie writes, Kylie tells Chris they set her up with a desk and all of her things. She walks outside and it's a desk that with just her laptop and her Chanel in the main area.
Oh, yeah.
This is what Emma probably looked like at her internships.
I told you, my edible hit hard here.
Well, like just a very non-impressive desk and then a giant Chanel on top of it.
Yeah, it was just like, why does this girl have a Chanel in the middle of the office? Like, why does this intern sitting like with every other intern just have like a giant Chanel on her desk?
I would never put it on the desk, but yes, I hear what you're saying. So Julie writes, Chris storms out and literally says, have a good day, bitch. And then Julie writes, I feel like Chris is literally trapped in Ariana Grande's music video. Like, she embodied the mom from Mean Girls and Can't Escape Now. Such a good comparison. Yes.
I feel like she just like loved this persona she took on, and now it's like a permanent part of her.
Yeah. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we have two more scenes and we're rounding it out. So we're at Courtney's house. Chloe walks in and Penelope and Rain are on the couch, and Chloe's like, where are they? And Penelope's like, I think they're fighting outside. And we panned outside and Kendall and Courtney are like in a full-blown physical fight, which was very Courtney and Chloe circa earlier scenes.
Also, another weird thing that happened is that Chloe's like, pretzel sticks are amazing. Like, why was there a secondary plotline of the show where Chloe's like, pretzel sticks are amazing. Like, why was there a secondary plotline of the show where Chloe's just discovering food?
Yeah, it was very, I don't know.
Like, why did that happen two times in an episode where she discovered pretzels and Hershey
Kisses?
But
I wanted to say to her, it's like, wait, if you ever had the pretzel sticks with the Hershey Kisses, salty and sweet, you'll lose your mind.
With a marshmallow.
Oh, my God.
Heard it here, you know what's funny?
What?
Is that I love the combination of those three things, but I would never eat those three things separately.
You would never just pick up a pretzel stick?
Sometimes with hummus, but I would never, I don't really like them on their own. I like the soft pretzels from the mall, though.
Who doesn't? Auntie Annie's?
Yeah.
Yeah, at this point, they're physically fighting. They're, like, throwing potatoes at each other in light of the whole potato thing. And they basically were pulling. Kendall says that the whole fight was kind of staged, the ending fight.
Yeah, it
because
was.
They were trying to, like, they resolved it privately. And they just thought that Chloe got in the middle. And, like, they were now accusing Chloe of making it all worse. And she's like, okay, one, yeah, maybe she did instigate it a little, but she's literally like, you have to be fucking kidding me. She's like, I just had to listen for the past week, both of you blabbering on to me constantly, and now it's my fault?
Also, Kendall's going to act like this was like just Chloe blowing out her forehead. Kendall was literally crying in the whole episode.
Yeah. Kendall's like, I just think that Chloe really made it a little more dramatic. It's like, listen, bitch.
This is something I want to talk about, is when they flashback to Kendall and Courtney having the conversation. They like do the black and white sepia, like whatever flashback. I always think I'm going crazy during these like flashbacks, and I was finally able to pinpoint why that is. It's because when they used to do those flashbacks in that exact same filter in that exact same way, it was like, this is from a previous episode. I keep thinking they're showing conversations that I missed. I don't like that they do it in the exact same way. It makes me think I'm literally going crazy.
I agree. They basically, you know, forgive each other and all settled. She says, Chloe goes to Kendall, I forgive you for wearing the ugliest outfit I've ever seen, but only you could make it cool. Kendall was wearing this like t-shirt and zebra leggings. She's kind of true. She's kind of right.
No one else could wear that.
So they're resolved, which thank God. I know we were all terribly worried. And we're now at the last scene, which was Chris at her condo, which again, I wonder why she was there. And Kylie brings her donuts as kind of like a peace offering. The whole thing was just they agreed that they could handle things better, but that they're much more powerful together and that they don't want to let anything get in the way.
Also, I literally wrote it and I was like, I wonder why they're at their condo. And then like 1 second later, she's like, this is my new office. I was like, thank you for answering my above question. Like I literally wrote that down.
That there's nothing better than when they in episode answer a question that we want to know.
It's like, thanks. Like I knew it was weird that you were there.
Like when Kim was putting that thing in her pants, I was like, what is that? And then she's like, it's a psoriasis. But
she knows. Well, she was obviously going to address that.
I don't know. I wasn't sure. She would just say like, oh, it's something my doctor gave me. I mean, that was really the entirety of the episode. There was nothing. There were no giant revelations.
We spoke about for 58 minutes about fucking nothing.
I mean, you guys knew this was going to happen, but I'm just saying this was one of those where I think we're all just collectively going to have to sit here and just wait the next 6 days for the Jordan episode, because that's what this is leading up to. And they know they can do it because they know they have us hooked now.
What Chris said at this episode to Kylie was really sweet. Do you remember what she said?
Which thing?
I wrote it if you wanted to read it.
Can you find it for me?
It's right there.
When she said, I think we just have to know.
Yeah.
Oh, she says, I think we just have to know when it's time to give each other space, but I love working together every day and I love what we do. I love how creative you are and how you inspire me to be better.
I told you, they have a really sweet relationship.
Not only do they have a sweet relationship, I also think that they, as businesswomen, can recognize that like they can't let this shit get in the way of $1 billion. So they got to put it together.
Also, the difference is like when I always compare Kylie to Kim, like that is always the comparison I make. And when Kim was the real moneymaker of the family and Chris, like Kim was such a brat to Chris. Like there wasn't this like cute, like not that they didn't have a loving relationship, but it was like when Chris messed up, like Kim let her have it. Like she would rip into her and she was such a brat about it. Kylie is very like, I want to work with you and I need to work with you, but like I enjoy working with you. It's not just like a manager or mom-daughter relationship. It's like, this is really like my business and I enjoy doing it with you. I just feel like they have a very different relationship, but I really like Kylie, like the way she is with Chris. And also crop top look with a blazer is Kylie's fucking look.
Yeah. No,
she's like a baller.
She's so hot. She really is. She kills it. Every time she walks in, I'm just like, you kill it. So that was it. Major takeaways is that their branding was unbelievably calculated and genius as always. The skin, the KKW beauty, the poosh, all of it. And as Julie wrote, I felt like this episode was like one of the Valentine's Day movies where everything comes together in the end. That's exactly what it was. And now
that was
we
such
just,
a good thought I had.
Yeah, it was. And now we just sit and wait for next week. And we love you all. We cannot wait to see you next week to have a giant group digest. We will be, I don't know, I'm going to need to take like a Xanax for that one or something.
Yeah, Papa's hand too.
Okay, we love you guys. We will see you next week.
Let's talk about baby making for a second, because it's really not as simple as it's made out to be, meaning there's just factually a lack of knowledge surrounding how to get pregnant. And kind of, you know, for many of us, we spend our lives trying to prevent unwanted pregnancy, that when you do want to conceive, there's almost a lack of understanding and resources, which is why I want to introduce you to Frida Fertility. Frida Fertility is the only one-stop shop that makes it easier to make a baby, with a set of solutions for everything from egg and sperm health to ovulation tracking to conception aid. And basically what Frida is doing is simplifying the journey to parenthood with products that help you go from trying to making a baby. And their products are innovative, easy to use, accessible, from ovulation prediction to at-home insemination kits. They're kind of revolutionizing the conception aid game with the at-home insemination kit, which is almost, you can think of it as like a modern effective solution to the turkey baster. This is baby making simplified. Find Frida Fertility on Amazon, Target, and select CVS near you.